has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Are you the only one?
I think so. I didn't hear any beeps.
Okay. Are you interested in moving forward or you want to wait?
Well, I guess
Hello?
We could move.
I'm here.
Okay, I didn't hear you beep.
All
maybe
right.
You came
okay.
For me because there's no music.
I have to go mute.
We understand. Welcome.
Okay. Thank you.
So we are studying Parsha Vayera from the Sulam Commentary on the Zohar. This is from section 18, and we're starting at the 232 after our Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud kud shabri chuv ishkinte bib kilu urkimu udkilu udkilu urkimu leachta Lashem yud hei babalte Yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'asok Torah mitzvah Vayhino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu karenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu karenei. Psalm 232. Begin the eretz da ma'ketiv ba mi merchak davi olachma uvatarihi yahavat Mazona Vatarpa Bakoli Nun Chivan Varaditiv Vatakam Beod Laila Watitain Tereth Leveta Vahok Lenaro Teha. The transaction. Transaction, the translation. It is written on this earth, named Malchut. She brings her food from afar.
Has
and
joined.
She provides the beasts of the field, which are the angels of the world of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, with food and sustenance. As it is written, she rises also while it is yet night, and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Chapter 31 of Mishle is the song a husband signs to his wife on Shabbat. This pasuk is explaining code words. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, being Proverbs 31, you know, we relate to it as a woman, but I had never seen these code words before, so that was new. I was surprised that they referred to the angels, beasts. I would have said creatures, but I guess with me, beast kind of has a negative connotation. But I guess my question, because another conversation we had where I had the angels associated the way I had learned it with Rabbi Zadok, and I was quite surprised when you said it differed, because sometimes a teacher will, or a Kabbalist will hide truth in order to protect it. So I guess my big question is, for each one of the worlds, which group of angels belongs to each world? For, you know, the seraphim, the orphim, the coyote. I'm not sure where they belong anymore.
Well, the world of Bria is the world of Memtet. So those are the essentially the archangels and the host, the Tzibaot. So Yetzirah is the world of Sandalphon and the world of the what's the fiery angels? I forget the word right now off the top of my head. I say it all the time in the Kedusha. And then the world of Asiya.
Okay.
In the world of Asiya, you have give me a second. There's two groups that I'm thinking of in the world of Asiya, and one is the two the cherubs, the other is the wheels.
I'm wondering the ones in the bedtime shawl that we say every night, Michael and Gabriel and Uriel, and are they a specific group in Asiya?
The archangels are in the world of Bria.
Okay, so they're considered archangels. All right. Okay.
There's a whole species of archangels. There's actually the four components of the archangels.
Okay, is that the seraphim too?
The seraphim is the fiery angels. That's what I couldn't think of. Mm-hmm. They're in the world of Yetzirah.
Yetzirah, okay.
And their leader is the Sandalphon.
Right.
Now, how did you understand what Rabbi Bar Sivak told you?
I don't know about understanding. It's just that he had sent an essay that was on the telly, and he had mentioned an angel I had never heard of before. And I don't know, wherever he placed Sandalphon and Mentet wasn't the same as what we had in, I think, the Sefer Yetzirah. And I didn't get to look at it this weekend. I stayed on the Ari's essay of during Shabbat, so it's not real fresh on my mind, other than it's just all confused now, you know, who's where and what. And the idea, you have seraphim, you have orphim, you have the coyote. Now, the coyote, are those the, what did you call it, the wheels?
No, the coyotes is another species of angels.
Okay.
But the coyotes are also in Asiya.
Okay.
You have 10 species of angels, according to my monitor. And they literally relate to the 10 Sephirot. But do they relate to the 10 Sephirot within Mahut, or whether they relate to the world, all of them relating to the world of Bria, the 10 Sephirot within the world of Bria? And so that's where a lot of people become confused. And that's where we have different Kabbalists indicating different things about the angels. Because The human species is absolute. I don't know if you heard me. The human species relates to absolute. But we live in the physical world as a combination of body and soul. And the angels have a combination of body and soul also. So as a human being, when you're meditating and you're moving from one world to the next, you're taking on a different body, a different garment, is the way the Zohar refers to it.
As does the angel when it comes into Asiyah.
Correct.
A different, yeah.
Different
the opposite. Garment. Yeah, okay.
So your Egyptian is understandable.
Sorry, I interrupted you again. To get back on track, I'll just go back to the Sephiroth,
okay,
and stick with that for a while because I haven't studied the angels in a long time. But the idea of the princes over each nation, I don't know, I've been thinking about that a lot. So that was why I asked you the questions to kind of get myself grounded.
Yeah. The princes over each nation are in the world of Briah. And that's essentially the species of the four archangels, and there are more of them by name, because each nation, the angel takes on the name of the angel. The angel over each nation takes on the name of the nation, with the addition of whichever name of Hashem is involved with the task that they're performing. So that's why we have all the Michael, Raphael, and so forth is taking on the name of El, because they're dealing in the world of Hachma. So hopefully that clarifies.
That's
a help.
Yes, it does.
But always remember, the human being is supposed to be above the angels, but due to the sin, we've fallen below the angels. Now, as you said earlier, that all of these, it's quoting the verse from Mishle that is very well known, that's sung from husband to wife every Friday night. And these are very famous verses. But it's being expressed as code words that are very different than seeing. And as you said, you would not have related them to the word beasts, but would probably have chosen creature. But of course, we don't know the Aramaic word that is being utilized for the translation. But the importance of the word beasts of the field is it's telling us man is above these levels, not below these levels. So it gives you a frame of reference to understand the verse a little better. Good Should I go on, or is there still more questions?
Well, that last verse, she wants, you know, naturally, she brings her food from afar. I used to always, you know, we had to travel 250 miles and, or 150 miles to Houston and 200 to New Orleans in order to be able to get some kosher food, you know, but especially at Passover and all. So, I mean, I really related to bringing my food from afar to my house. But saying she rises also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household, is that still referring to the angels? A portion
yes.
to her mouth?
Yes, because what is night? Night can be Malchut, but also night can be the separation between Zeranpin and Malchut. And what does it mean from afar? It's a code word that you're distant from Hashem. And so it's telling us that the angels move between the worlds as well. They don't move in the sense that that there's a given angel as one of the species can rise to a higher level or fall to a lower level unless they're given the task. And the angels being in the various three levels of the worlds, those angels have a task to be Hashem's messenger in the world. In that particular world. Whereas man is living simultaneously in all of the worlds. You and I, each of us have a relationship. We have the same person, for lack of a better term, and we're simultaneously experiencing the world of Atzilut, the world of Bria, the world of Yetzirah, and the world of Asiya. And we have different garments in each of those worlds, different bodies. And there are different laws of physics in each of those worlds. And so that is the task, ultimate task of human beings, is to be the messengers from Hashem to all of the different worlds. And you know the midrash of how the angels argued with Hashem, how can you create man? Because we can do this with this work. Why do you need this creature called man? And Hashem didn't argue with them per se. He just created man. But when Moses was given the Torah and they said, no, you can't take it down, and he argues with them, with the angels, by saying, you know, do you make sacrifices? And so forth, all the different arguments in that midrash. So all of these midrashim can really be understood within this verse. And of course, the chapter 31 of Mishlei, which is such a famous, you know, song sung every Friday night, it limits our understanding when we say it's only the humans that it's being applied to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I felt like yesterday when we were, that we had kind of transitioned to a new section, and that especially with 230, verse 230. And I can see that's what's happened. We're kind of moved away from the previous verses with Abraham and Lot, and, you know, we're getting into something new.
And that is correct. And I don't know that we mentioned it per se, but the way we were understanding the verses was the transition.
Mm-hmm.
233, unless you still want to talk about 232. There's a lot there in 232.
Right. What would the code word be for maidens and a portion to her maidens? Her maidens would be those that help her. So are they making a reference to the angels that give support?
First off, what is meat to her household?
Well, because it had just mentioned food and sustenance, I figured it had to do with food and sustenance.
Well, it's saying she rises at night, and night is the separation between Zerampin and Malchut. So that it's rising at night implies the level of Malchut. And gives meat represents the sacrifices.
Okay, yeah.
Now, do angels have households? And we learn elsewhere that they do.
Well, we all have a guardian angel, so I would assume our guardian angel is in our household, in our house.
Right. Right. Now, a portion to her maidens is essentially light, isn't it? What is the purpose of the sacrifice, the animal sacrifices in the temple? It's a replacement for the human being to sacrifice the animal aspect of it itself.
Right.
So, and the result of those animal sacrifices is a revelation of light. Or an elevation of the soul of the human being, because bringing the animal sacrifice, that replacement of their own animal is taking place. And in the Kavanah that the human being does when he brings that animal, there's a revelation of light, and that's the meaning of portions. And her maidens, as you say, is those who help her. And we get lost in this whole concept of the angels, that there's only one angel given one task. But there's really a species of angels, just like there's the human species. So there's millions, billions, trillions of angels doing different aspects, different being messengers with a specific task. So is that helping you to understand portions to her maidens?
Yes, yes. Really an eye-opener. When we sing the chant, there is Torah, there is man, there is Israel in the earth, or a man in Israel, you know, in the earth. I always say, repeat it again, and use the word Asiyah. Can we also say that for each one of the worlds? You know, there's Torah, there's man, there's Israel in the world of Yetzirah, and then repeat it for Briah, you know, for all the worlds. Or should we just stay with just the earth?
No. You have to break the klipah that keeps you from perceiving Israel as a code word in all four worlds. So what, by saying the same thing for Bria or Asiya, for Yetzirah, for Bria, are you creating separation between the worlds? Or are you unifying it? What is your consciousness?
Well, to me, it would be unifying, especially if we have a part in each one of those worlds.
But why would you think that the sages didn't tell us to do that?
You see everything.
We're listening, Anna. It creates separation. From God looking down, does he see four different worlds or does he see one?
Well, I'm sure he sees one.
So why would we want to create separation? Because we need to come from world to world? But
it's climbing the ladder.
Looking down also. Yes, there are times we climb the ladder. There are other times we look down from the top.
Okay.
What happens on Friday night? When that song is sung, when is it sung? After the Kabbalat Shabbat? It's sung at the dinner table, isn't it?
Right.
Would you say it at that time? At that time, there's only unity. Shabbat.
Okay.
The physical world, using the metaphor of the airplane on the runway, the physical world has taken off and has risen to be in unity with Zeron Pin. So if you are then creating a consciousness, there's a different world, you're creating the separation.
I don't know, I kind of see it as like your whole body. I mean, you could talk about the head, but it's still part of your body, and you've got two arms and you've got two legs. Well, to me, the five worlds are like that. They're all together, but it's like appendages from the top. But I can understand what you're saying. But and you answered my question, so thank you for that.
And we are out of time, actually, so.
Okay. All right.
But I think it was well worth, you know, this discussion.
Yes.
Does anybody have any other questions? I'm reminding you that the 7 o'clock class tonight is going to be discussing Tu B'Av. And I wish you all, for those who don't join us for Tu B'Av, have a happy holiday and truly appreciate and be grateful for Hashem for giving us this wisdom, the knowledge of what this day actually is, which we'll discuss, but it's such a beautiful holiday. And as we know, it is the highest daily energy of all 365 days of the year. That is not a holiday. And that is truly a gift. And to understand that we went from the depths of Tisha B'Av just 6 days ago. Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Shalom.
I know everyone from Benjamin is really thankful too. Okay, thank you, Hanob. Bye bye.
Chag Sameach. Shalom.
Chag Sameach.